Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to share just for a few minutes from the Word, and I want to share something with you, and it has a broader application than what we find noted here in this epistle. I say often that the New Testament is the fabric that we as believers should wear. The Old Testament is good. We need to know it. We need to study it. It is the pattern for the Christian life, but nobody wears a pattern. The New Testament is the fabric that we wear. And so these things that are written in the epistles or the letters written to born-again believers are things that we really need to focus on and practice in life. Notice Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll read just a few verses. It says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." Now here Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, which is in modern-day Turkey, and he told these people 2,000 years ago that they should honor their father and mother. Now you have to remember, this was a Gentile church. These were not Jews. And so he's relating to them the first commandment that God gave to Israel that had a promise attached to it. The commandment was this, honor your father and mother. The promise was that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And so there was a condition attached to the promise. Now, what does it mean to honor your father and mother? What does it mean to honor in general? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. But here, honor is the Greek word timeo, and it literally means to esteem something very highly or to consider something that's valuable. And so all of us can recognize how valuable our parents are. Now, when you're 12 or 13, you might not think that way. You might think, man, Dad doesn't know anything, Mama doesn't know anything. When you get to be 30, 35, you realize how much they really did know. When you get to be in your 50s, you'll realize you wish they were still here so that you could glean some more of that knowledge from them. But, I don't know, maybe it's a stage of growth or adolescence that sometimes we think we know it all. We get too big for our britches. That's what my mama used to say. She said, don't get too big for your britches, because mama had a way of downsizing you real fast. And I know your mother was the same. But honor your father and mother, and that's the first commandment that had a promise attached to it, and the promise was that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, here's the thing that we have to understand. In our modern culture, we have people that come from many different stations in life. And every station's not the same. Every family's not the same. You know, my parents were divorced when I was 12 years old, so I had a different perspective. And I love my father with all my heart. He died several years ago. But there were many years when I didn't have a relationship with my father. He was only 30 miles away, and I never saw him. For 8 years, almost 8 years, I never saw the man. But when I graduated from college, all of a sudden he reappears, wants to reenter my life, wants to give me direction, wants to give me guidance. How many of you know I was having none of that? Okay. But in my latter years and in his latter years, I learned to appreciate him for who he was, even though he'd made some mistakes. And he wasn't perfect. And we can all identify with that. And so church is where people come to get put back together. You know, I don't know where we got this concept that, you know, everybody at church is supposed to be perfect. No. This is like the you know, remember that story in Luke chapter 10 where the guy is beat up laying by the side of the road and, you know, a good Samaritan comes, pours in oil and wine, puts him on his own beast, takes him to an inn and tells the innkeeper, take care of him. And if you spend any more money, well, next time I come, I'll pay you. Well, the church is the inn. All right. This is where people come to be taken care of, to be put back together, to understand God's purpose for their lives so that they can function as God designed for them to function. So the church will never be full of perfect people. And I've heard people say over the years, well, you know, I'm not going to church. It's full of hypocrites. Well, if you come, there'll just be one more. You got two people in your church, you've got problems. Okay? This is where people come to get put back together, to get their attitudes straightened out, to understand who they are in Christ. And so all of us come from many different stations in life. And maybe you grew up without a mother or you grew up without a father. That's okay. Ultimately, you have one Heavenly Father who will take care of you. And when you understand that, it'll change your life. But I thank God for my mother and my grandmother. My mother was not perfect. She was not a saint. Neither was my grandmother. I've often told the story about how my mother beat up a gal. My little brother had gotten into a fight with a girl who kept picking on him, and so one day he just hauled off and smacked her. She was older than him, and she didn't expect him to retaliate. He did. He lit her up. Just wham. Well, next thing you know, her brother, who just gotten out of reform school, was going to beat up my little brother. Well, my mama was having none of that. And so, I don't know why I'm telling this story. Good Lord. Mom, forgive me. But anyway, the word got out. And so we lived in a little rural town, and the bus stop was down over the hill by the store, and it's about a half mile away. And so a crowd had gathered at the bus stop as the kids were coming home from school, and my brother was on that bus. I think he's like in the eighth grade. And this girl that he had smacked, her older sister, who was 18, her name was Punkin, told everybody in town she gonna whip Dora May. That's my mother. And so everybody wanted to go down and see the fight. My mother's in her 40s. And so the bus got there, and Punkin got in my mother's face, and she said, I'm going to whip your son. My mother said, no, you're not. 18-year-old whipping an eighth grader. And so she proceeded to attack my mother and try to rip her blouse off. And when, you know, I'm at work. You know, I'm going to college, I'm at work. And I remember I'm at the cashier. I'm running the register that day in this grocery store. And one of the older fellows, who was older than me, Larry Diggs, comes in the store. And my nickname was Newton. They used to call me Newt. So Larry comes in the front door. He says, ooh, Newt, your mama bad, boy, your mama bad. I said, what are you talking about? Your mama bad. I said, what are you talking about? He said, you didn't hear about it? Hear about what? Man, your mama whipped Punkin's blankety blank down at the bus stop today. I said, get out of here. When my mother got through with Punkin, Punkin had a black eye, had some of her hair ripped out, and was laying prostrate in the just laying there in the dirt. My mother tore her up. So, you know, Punkin pressed charges, and my mother said it was self-defense, and she got off. Okay, and it was. She was attacked. Why'd I tell you that story on Mother's Day about my mother? Just to let you know that my mother wasn't perfect. Neither was yours. Okay? But we honor them. And we respect them. But my mother would do anything to protect her children. That was priority number one with her. And so we need to honor our parents, whether they're living or whether they're not. If they're living, you need to do something special for them. But here's what I want to share with you. I want to go a little deeper than just honoring mother on Mother's Day or father on Father's Day. Let's talk about the principle of honor. There's a principle here that is a biblical truth that if we will understand and practice, it will enhance our lives. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. Go back to the Old Testament, the poetical books. There's Job, there's Psalms, and then there's the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 31. And I want to show you something about honor. Proverbs chapter 31. Very familiar passage to many of us. And if you would, just follow along with me. Proverbs chapter 31. It's the last proverb just before Ecclesiastes. Okay? If you got it, say, I got it. I'm going to begin reading with verse 10. It says this, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do in good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands she plants a vineyard. She girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her candle doesn't go out by night. She lays her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her covering or clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen and sells it and delivers girdles to the merchant. Strength," notice this, verse 25, "strength and honor are her clothing. And she shall rejoice in the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." This proverb speaks volumes about the way we should honor our mothers and our wives. It speaks volumes. Now, there are basically three things that you have to maintain in life and manage well if you want to succeed. Number one, time. If you don't learn how to manage your time, you're going to struggle all your life. Number two, money. You have to learn how to handle money properly or you're going to struggle all your life. The third area is relationships. You have to learn how to manage relationships properly or you're going to struggle. Now, here the writer of Proverbs is talking about a woman who fears the Lord. She's industrious. She cares about her family. She provides for her family. Notice that she has money to go buy property. Did you notice that? She buys a field and plants a vineyard. She does business in the market and she prospers. And she takes care of not only her household, but her maidens. That simply means she has people who work for her. And not only does she provide for her family, but she provides for her employees too. Okay? This is a woman who's industrious. But notice that it says in verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. Strength and honor are her clothing. So a wife or a woman without honor, and here the Hebrew word is hadar, is not clothed properly. In other words, that's part of her splendor or part of her beauty. Honor. Now, what is this thing with honor? Honor simply means to esteem someone highly or to value them. To consider them valuable and precious. And that's something that we really need to work on if we're going to have favor with God and have good relationships in our lives. Are you all with me? Now, let me show you something here, and then I'm going to weave into where I want to go. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, and I'm going to show you something about honor perverted. John chapter 5. And we'll look at verse 44. John 5:44. Here's a perversion of honor. Notice this. John 5, verse 44. Jesus is speaking and he said this. "How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God only?" Now there's a perversion of honor that we find in our culture, and unfortunately, it's ripe in church culture. Have you ever been in a church service where somebody got up and said, I want to give honor to God, who's the head of my life. I want to give honor to the bishop and the pastor and the first lady and to this and to that. And I used to sit there. Now, you got to remember, I wasn't raised Pentecostal holiness. I'd sit there and listen to this, and I thought, well, okay, where's that in the book? I'm serious. That's the way my mind works. Where'd that come from? Why do we do that? Have you ever asked yourself a question, why do you do what you do? You need to ask yourself that question a lot. Why do you do what you do? Well, that's just what we do. Why? Why? Well, that's the tradition of the elders. Do you find it in the Scripture? No. Well, you might want to consider dropping that. Okay? You might want to put that away. Because I don't think it's helping you. You with me? And so I used to, now listen, I had a call to ministry on my life. I'd find myself in these church meetings, right? And everybody who got up before me was giving honor to this one and an honor to that one. It just didn't fit me right. And so I'd get up and say, I just want to thank God for all the clergy. That was my honor right there. Because I knew some of these guys. And what they wanted was praise from me. They didn't care what God thought. They just wanted me to honor them. I had a guy one time, you'd be hard-pressed to believe this, Al, blew up at me, just went ballistic on me in church because I didn't call him bishop. Oh, he got mad. He said, my name is Bishop. Ooh, I almost said his name. My name is Bishop so-and-so. Just got in me, nose to nose with me. And I'm thinking, oh, here's the love of Jesus. So what in the world's wrong with this guy? And I just smiled at him. And I never called him that. I wouldn't do it. I refused to do it. You know why? He didn't know what the word meant. He thought it was a badge of honor that you wear. No, it's a function in the body of Christ. Episkopos, bishop, one who sees over. And most people don't know what that is. He's not a pastor to pastors. He just found him a pink shirt and a purple collar or whatever. Purple shirt, white collar, excuse me. Now please, don't go out of here disrespecting folk. No, my pastor, no, don't do that. You go home this afternoon and you bump into Bishop so-and-so, be nice, be sweet, call him Bishop and keep going. Because he may actually be the function. That may be his function in the body of Christ. But it used to bother me that people were hung up on titles. You know? And so people would come up to, that's a reverend or elder. I'd say, just call me Dave. Just call me Bill. That's the name my mama gave me. That'll suffice. Well, do I call you this? Do I call you that? Just call me by my name. See, pastor's not my title. That's what I do. That's my function. See, in Ephesians chapter 4, it says he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. That's not a list of titles. Those are functions. And if you're not anointed to do it, you ain't it. I don't care what you call yourself. Are you with me? I don't want to go down that road this morning. We're talking about honor. But I found myself in this predicament where people wanted honor from each other and just totally disregarded what God thought. And there was a time when somebody came to Jesus and said this, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And you know what Jesus said? He said, why you call me good? There's none good but God. Are you with me? There was a time when Jesus girded himself with a towel, got down on his knees, and washed his disciples' dirty feet. And did it for a reason. He said, I did this for an example to show you, if I, your Lord, am willing to humble myself and serve you, then you should have the same attitude and serve one another. He that is great among you, let him be your servant. That's what the word minister means, servant. So here Jesus is correcting a perversion of this principle of honor. He said, you guys seek honor one of another, and you don't look for the honor that comes from God. That's what's really important. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 2. I'm going to show you something about honor. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Very familiar passage of Scripture. You know, there are some people in life that I esteem very highly. And I honor them for the contribution that they've made into my life. I think of my father-in-law, Reverend Carr. And, you know, when I was a young guy, hungry for God, still hungry for God, but when I was younger and hungry for God, you know, I had questions. I'd ask him things. He was the only guy who would take the time to shoot me straight, not give me the religious junk, and just tell me the truth. Here's what the Bible says. There are other guys that would give me the junk, and I'd say, well, you know, why do you believe that? Why do you think that? Where'd you get that from? They didn't know. You know, but he always shot me straight, so I honor him. I think of my grandfather, poured into my life as a 12-year-old boy after my parents' divorce. He knew I was headed for trouble. And so he became a father figure to me and taught me a lot of things about honor, about respect, about how to work hard, about how to love a woman properly. You know, you need to teach boys how to do that. That's not automatic. You need to teach young men how to treat a woman. You know that? Because if they don't learn the principle of honor early on, they're going to dishonor somebody and end up in trouble. And some of us have been there, done that. Okay, like I said, you're in the right place. This is where people come to get fixed up. Okay, all right? But I learned that from my grandfather. I thank God for my mother. I honor her because she set a godly example before me. Here you have a middle-aged divorced woman, very attractive woman. My mother was a beautiful woman. And you know how men are. Can I get an... Everybody got quiet on that one, boy. Woo! Quiet! God, quiet! I remember when I was in the 10th grade, a guidance counselor from the local junior high school comes sliding up on the front porch and knocking on the door about 11 o'clock. And my mother knew this guy. She grew up with him. And I remember her going to the door. Well, I got up and I'm peeking out the bedroom door, right? She doesn't know I'm watching her. She goes to the door and she said, ooh, I almost said his name. She said, what are you doing here? Sudden such. Oh, doormaid, just want to talk. She said, it's late. Doormaid, just want to talk. Thank God my mother didn't open the door. Left him on the porch. She said, I'm sorry. You ain't coming in here. Thank God for my mother. You with me? And she lived her life that way. But things like that I learned from her, that I learned from my grandparents, are still with me today. See, your kids are watching you. And you know they are. Look at this in 1 Samuel chapter 2. You're going to learn a lot here. Watch this. Verse 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Oh my goodness. Scandal in the church. Hophni and Phinehas were Eli's sons. They were priests. And they were sleeping with women who came to bring offerings at the tabernacle. And you thought scandal was something new. I got news for you. It's as old as the Bible. God was not pleased. And so he came to Samuel, or Eli, because he's the high priest. Notice verse 29. God is saying this to Eli. Why do you kick at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I've commanded in my habitation, and honor your sons above me? Eli should have fired his sons. But he didn't do it. Because he honored his sons above God. His sons were causing Israel to sin. And he told him, hey, this isn't good that you're doing. I hear about all this stuff. It's not good. But he didn't do anything about it. And so God showed up and he did something about it. Now I want you to see the principle of honor here. Go down a little further. Verse 30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, be that far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. In other words, if you'll honor me and honor my word and follow through on what I told you to do, I will honor you. But if you disregard what I've told you to do and do your own thing, then I'm going to back away from you. And it's not good when God backs away from you. Hophni and Phinehas and Eli all died in one day. In one day, all three of them were gone. But before they died, here's what the Lord said to Eli. He said, because you didn't honor me, there will not be a man in your family who lives to an old age. In other words, every man in your descendants, in your lineage, will die young. Why? Dishonor. They did not esteem or value the things of God. They decided to go their own route, do their own thing, and let the flesh run the show. Are you with me? And so, the same thing continues today. People who live that way scare me. I stay away from them. You know, there are times I'm out and, you know, I'll see Reverend whoever. Hey, man, I haven't seen you in a long time. How come I don't see you? Because I ain't running with you, Jack. You dishonor the things of God. And I'm going to stay away from you. Because I ain't got time for your mess. Are you with me? Now, here's the principle that you need to see. There's a law of reciprocity at work here. When you honor the things of God, He will honor you. That simply means when you consider them to be valuable and you esteem them highly, you pay attention to them, you follow them, you consider them as something that's precious and valuable, then God will respond to you the same way. But when you lightly esteem spiritual things and you think, so what? No big deal. What if I'm late? What difference is it going to make? Guess what? That's the same way God's going to respond to you. You have a need and He says, so what? I got to respond to Him the way He responds to me. Are you with me? So we have to understand the principle of honor. I learned it early when I was young. I remember, I'll tell you this story. I'm going to Bible college. I'm working third shift. I'm getting off at 7 o'clock in the morning. But church starts at 10. And I'm getting to church 10:20. 10:25. It only took about three times to do that. Third time, we're driving to church. Guess who spoke to me? The Holy Spirit spoke to me in my car. And simply said this to me. If you went to your job the way you go to church, you'd have been fired a long time ago. That was the last time I was late. Why? I honored spiritual things. What I did at church was more important than my job. You with me? Some folk haven't gotten that yet. But you need to understand that. When you value and esteem spiritual things highly, God will respond to you in kind. When you disregard spiritual things and you treat them with disdain or treat them like they really don't matter or they're not that important, well, guess what? Back at you, Jack. Back at you. There's a law of reciprocity at play. But if we'll learn to honor God and honor the things of God, I'll tell you this. One time I was praying about, and it's nobody who's in this house, okay? Nobody who's a part of MGCC. But I was in a situation, I'm praying about somebody. Did you know pastors pray about the people that they pastor? Did you know that? Did you know I pray about you and pray for you at times?
I do.
That's my job. So I'm praying about an individual, and I'm like, something ain't right. I just don't get it. I don't understand it. How come they're not I just don't understand what's going on. And the Lord spoke to me, and you know what He said? He said, if they don't honor me, what makes you think they'll honor you? Whoa, that was an eye-opener. So I realized their problem was not something that I could really put my finger on, but rather it was an attitude of their heart, dishonor. They dishonored the Lord. So if they wouldn't honor God, how can I possibly expect them to honor me? Something we need to realize. And it's reflected in many different ways. Anyway, let me keep this on a positive note, okay? Say, we love Pastor Bill. Okay. God's purpose and plan was never realized in Eli's family because of dishonor. And because of dishonor, there was not an old man in their family for generations. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. We'll wrap this up. Romans chapter 12. The principle of honor. We need to honor our mothers. We need to honor our wives. You know, guys, you know, the Bible says he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. You need to honor your wives. You need to esteem them highly. You need to consider them as valuable and precious. Amen. He that finds a wife finds a good thing. I found a good one. I found a good one. Some of y'all didn't get that. That's okay. Romans chapter 12. Watch this. Notice verses 9 and 10. It says this, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. In honor, preferring one another. Honor should be the basis of your relationship. Because if you honor someone, that means you esteem them better than you do yourself. Or you value them more than you do yourself. You know what that eliminates? Selfishness. If I value you above me, then I'm going to prefer you. I'm going to do whatever I can to help you. I'm going to do whatever I can to bless you. I'm not going to go behind your back and tear you down. If I do that, then I'm dishonoring you. I'm not preferring you above myself. You see that? Now, let's turn to one last verse and we'll close with this. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Honor. You know, honor and faith go together. 1 Peter chapter 2. There was a time when Jesus went to his hometown, Capernaum, in Mark chapter 6. Don't turn there. And the Bible says he could there do no mighty work, save he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. I mean, their unbelief just stunned him, shocked him. But just previous to that, he said, you know, a prophet has honor everywhere he goes, except in his hometown and among his own family. You know why? They become familiar with you. They think they know you. They think they got you all figured out. And when you start proclaiming and doing God's purpose and plan, they scratch their head and say, who in the world do you think you are? Where'd you get that from? Man, I remember in the third grade, I ate your bologna sandwich. Now you all calling yourself prophet, you know, healing and doing miracles. I know your mama. Well, don't let familiarity with people rob you of the principle of honor. They did not honor him. Consequently, they didn't believe and they missed out. So honor and faith have a very close relationship. Notice 1 Peter chapter 2. this verse sort of sums it up. It says this: honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now, the word honor all men is again that Greek word timeo. Consider them as valuable and precious. Listen, if you really have a heart after God, if you really live out this principle of honor, then there's nobody that you meet that you consider to be unworthy of God's grace. If you see every man as something valuable and precious, maybe not to you, but understand they are to God, and they might be doing dumb stuff. They might be hooked on drugs. They might be behind bars. They might be acting a fool. But they're valuable and precious in God's sight. If you keep that in the forefront of your thinking, then you'll relate to them the right way. You'll never look down your nose at them. You'll never condemn them. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to coddle them. You know what I mean? And like I mentioned about that guy who went ballistic on me because I wouldn't call him bishop. He's still valuable in God's eyes. I just had to love him from a distance. Sometimes you have to do that, you know? See, the Bible gives us a commandment to love. It doesn't give us a commandment to trust. I have a commandment to love you. I don't have a commandment to trust you. Amen? Notice the next part of this verse. Honor all men, love, agape, the brotherhood. What is agape? It is a love that's unconditional, expects nothing in return. In fact, agape operates in such a way that if you do something ill or evil to me, I'm still going to love you back. Are you with me? You can cuss me out like a sailor. I'm not going to like it. I ain't coming over your house next week. I'll still love you. Are you with me? I'll go home and pray for you. But that doesn't mean I'm going to invite you to dinner next week. Are you with me? Y'all learning anything? Yes. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Notice this. Fear God. The Greek word phobos, which is also translated fear as in terror, but in this context, it refers to a reverential fear, a veneration. In other words, you esteem him highest of all. And you do everything that you can to make sure that he's pleased. As I said a few weeks ago, I had one guy define the fear of the Lord like this: an awesome dread of doing anything that would displease your heavenly Father. I'm not afraid of anybody. And if anything, in the last 2 years, you know, for a brief period of time, I had to watch myself because I've never been afraid of anything, but I got to the point where I was absolutely flat fearless. After what I'd been through, nothing you can come up with is going to scare me. Absolutely nothing. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm still not. You know, after what I've been through, ain't nothing you got going to move me. But I had to be careful with that because I have to reverence God and fear Him. Are you with me? I'm not afraid of men, people, circumstances. Come on. That's nothing. He's got me in His hand. So I'm not afraid of anybody, but I do reverence Him. Okay? And then the last thing says, honor the king. Now here's what I want you to see. It's the same Greek word when it says, honor all men, honor the king. You got it? Honor all men, honor the king. Honor, esteem highly and consider them valuable, all men, and honor, esteem highly and value the king. Many times, we draw a distinction between the two. We'll fall all over ourselves to get next to the king, or the president, or the governor, or the mayor, or the politician. And we treat other people quite differently, don't we? When in essence, we should treat them all the same. We should treat them all the same. You should honor the guy down the street just like he was somebody who was a big shot and important. Can you see that? Everybody is valuable and precious in God's eyes. Now, when you understand those principles and begin to consider people as valuable and precious, watch what God will do in your life. Because the same will come back at you. And you don't even have to look for it. It'll just happen. It'll just happen. Because that's the way God does things. Amen? Did you guys learn anything today? Amen. Would you stand with me, please?